gara, gehienok ondo bizi gara, batzuek emoten dena, lorpen herria zuzi badago, lorpen hori da duena.
Oizat!
So it goes off in different directions, but on the whole, I think it's some very interesting stuff. So
we're not marching for civil rights, and that's something we have to convince our neighbors about. And, you know,
we are marching for things that we have to convince our neighbors, but right. We're not seeing our neighbors when we go out there.
Right, but I think
we've been essentially shut up, even though we're being told that we're having free speech. We're not actually communicating with people much. It doesn't go on the media. Yeah. People avoid where we're going to be. And so we're there, the police are there, and that's it.
Yeah, it's just I hate making the analogy, because it's just a slightly different... There's like the way that you're marching and the thing you're marching for. I think some of the things we're doing is like counter to large government national institutions, WTO, FTAA. The inauguration, political figures. I mean, it has not been the case in our history that a bunch of people get up and march around and then the president resigns. you know, that's not part of the history. It's like civil rights or something like that.
So I haven't really been paying attention to the conversation, and I don't want to.
But you're going
to
stumble into it anyway.
I'm going to stumble into it, because I remember where I left off originally was talking about Ryan Harvey and music, and that was Ryan Harvey that just called me on the phone.
Yeah.
And he was giving me an update, and I asked him to call into the web radio, and he said he'd do it in a little bit. But he was one of the people out there charging the barricades and shutting down the checkpoints out there with people today. Which, you know, while I know that you both are sitting here questioning the effectiveness of street protests, I do think that. Direct action like that, where it's very visible, and making a clear point
to who, to the cops,
to the people that are around there that
there's no one there.
Well, no, there are people there. There are people that got tickets to go in there.
That's to
go into the inauguration, sit on the bleachers.
Oh,
that's
I
what the checkpoints
okay.
are for.
I
so, and so they rushed those.
Okay.
And, as I was saying, that there's time and places where it can be useful, but I think we need to recognize the fact that the state institutions have done a pretty effective job of isolating the protest away from the people that the protesters are trying to communicate with, and that the protest needs to find more and new creative ways to have that communication, because the protest, the purpose of it is not just to be out there, but to be out there and communicate, to affect something, to influence public opinion and public policy, and the mindset and views of others. If we're not reaching people, if they're not seeing it through the news, if they're not seeing it on the streets, because the police have all the streets where we are cordoned off and no. No public is there. The public has no idea of what we've done.
But we're not. But I think, again, that I think you're absolutely right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that, and in addition to that, the fact that these particular struggles that we're dealing with in our times, mm-hmm. still there's a civil rights struggle that still exists. Still there's a gender, and still there's a queer struggle, and still there's a youth struggle, and all those things exist. But the things that I've been doing a lot of this, with the exception of biotech, is against government and political figures, and it's not the character of it is when people go out there and they rush these barriers or whatever, and they have street protests. It's really like they're talking to the cops, they're talking to the government official, they're talking to the government body. That thing that you're saying, they're not talking to each other in the community about something that affects. It's just not done in the same way. So basically, it's like you get out there in the street and you're yelling at the cops. these people, you're yelling at the cops, communicating to the cops something about how they won't live in a police state. Okay, that's very important, and it's important to tell the cops that you won't live in a police state. But it's more important to probably.
But
to...
I don't think that's the purpose of the event.
It
has been marginal.
So, yeah. So that's an interesting point. This is the Portland stream from a little earlier in the day, and I think Solo was talking about what it's like to go to these protests now. That there's such a heavy police presence between the cages and the barricades of cops. Who's listening? And his point was that who you're actually talking to is the police out there. And then I think he said that you're talking to the government, but, it's not like those police are ever going to report to a congressperson, a representative, the president, or, like, that's any form of democracy or democratic voice. It's the most frustrating form of democratic voice. Civil disobedience at least forces people to for instance, in traffic, perhaps it would hold up traffic and make people frustrated and have to think about why there are protesters disturbing their life. If you're just sitting there annoying cops, it's not like all cops, well, we could have a conversation about that. There's different views on that. I mean, they're working people, you know. They have, and during the RNC, they, you know, they were still negotiating their contract.
S&M bastard.
I mean, we need to get the cops on our side, as a matter of fact, you know.
Theoretically, yeah.